Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it is a beautiful day in Los Angeles, made all the more beautiful by that poster you see right there on your screen. It is the world-famous K-Rock. That album belongs to our special guest. She has been named one of the greatest guitarists of all time by Rolling Stone magazine. Rave reviews galore for the new record, All Born Screaming. And according to her 23andMe, she's 80% Irish. Give it up for St. Vincent.
Hi, how's it going?
Why is that on your Wikipedia?
I have no idea. Although I will say that the Irish, you know, we are a proud and scrappy. Underdog,
yeah.
People, you
I
know, and I think that we like to claim it. You know,
yeah.
Somebody's Irish.
I got the Shamrocks right there. Check
Are you
out.
Irish too?
Oh, 100%.
Are you
like my 23andMe would be the most boring thing ever?
Oh.
It would be the opposite of the new album,
dude. It's Clarks, Flynn's, Gallagher's. It's all County Cork, I guess.
Kevin, Patrick, McDonough, Kenny.
Oh, so, there it is.
I'm not fooling anybody.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good on you, lad.
So let's start with the artwork. Not to sound basic, but I love it. Of course, also it's kind of plays into the video for Broken Man. And I'm curious, have you ever seen the music video for Wax California back in the day? Is it Spike Jonze music video?
Wax California? No. I mean, I love Spike Jonze, but wait.
You should check it out. It's really great. It's from the 90s, but it made me think of that because it's this single shot that they shot at probably like quadruple speed.
Yeah.
And it's a guy on fire trying to catch a bus. And it's just one of the greatest, like, I mean, it's really cool. If you want, I know you're
sick. Yeah.
Yeah. It would be really cool. So it made me think of that. And then you actually wanted to light yourself on fire for the video. Is this real?
Yeah, I did. Well, I did, you know, one, because I'll do anything for art, but also because, like, I thought it might be cheaper. I was like, well, let's price it out. I mean, you know, if Photoshop, you know, is really that expensive, then maybe I'll just light myself on fire. But in the end, it actually ended up being cheaper to do it in post, and you know, and kind of more aesthetically,
right.
You know, it would have been too costly with the fire marshal and
less rehab time.
Exactly.
It, right? Now, I was watching this great press stop you did, and unfortunately, I don't remember who it was with, but you picked out all these DVDs. You were like shopping for DVDs.
Oh, yeah. The Criterion Collection does the, like, you get to go in their closet and pick whatever you want.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And one of the DVDs you picked out was Dazed and Confused, and you were sort of remarking about how it's really this world they build, and it's a type of movie that when it's over, you're kind of bummed it's over because you get so, you know, engulfed in the movie.
Yes.
And it was funny because I was listening to the record that came out today on the way in, and it was perfect because it's 41 minutes long, and I got like about a 41 minute commute here, and that's almost what you've done with this record, where you've created this world where, and it changes, there's ebbs and flows, there's almost beats to the story, of course, as you probably intended. And I just thought, wow, what an accomplishment, especially in today's sort of like disposable music, just like,
yeah,
you know, here today, gone tomorrow energy of the industry, that this is really a world you've built.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, the record is 41 minutes and 14 seconds. And when it came, you know, I'm obsessed with, you know, all of it in terms of production and performance and all that stuff. But I knew that it was the master was perfect, and that all the spaces in between the songs were perfect when it came back as a palindrome. 41 minutes and 14 seconds. I was like, okay, it is done.
There's your sign right there.
Yeah, yeah. That's a sign. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad it caught you. I mean, I love making records. Like, I love the art form of a record. I love, you know, and it's just about you. That's about what you want to spend, you know, 45 minutes, right around 45 minutes. Like, it's like, yeah, that's kind of a digestible experience, I think. And I love the art form of it.
Definitely. And I know intention was something really important and paramount to you creatively. And even as a listener, hearing it on not just the micro level of like the instrumentation and you not wanting to use plugins initially, what have you, but also just track by track and how purposeful, even like the distortion and the abrasiveness is at the end of Reckless, that sort of like preludes Broken Man and almost like primes you for that. It's really cool. Everything really means something on the record.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I think as a producer, like the every sound has to have a meaning and it has to matter and it has to add up to the kind of bigger meaning of the song. And there's just nothing that is like superfluous. There's no sound that's just like there just to be there. It's like, no, it's gotta matter.
Yeah. Definitely. Now, you were also remarking that DVD press stop, not just to keep plugging that, but you picked out a director's work and you said, you know, I should know more about this person, mm-hmm. right? I revere this individual and I should know more about them. So you picked up the DVD of their film. Is there anybody in music you feel that way about?
Oh my God, so many people. I mean, I was like, with music, I have to say, I'm a massive fan. But I'm not a completist, you know what I mean? Like with artists, I love things and records very deeply, but I might not know every single record of even my favorite artists. So that's certainly. But I also have a couple people in my life, like, you know, heads, like Questlove I'll hit up, or like Justin Meldal Johnson, if I'm like, I need to know everything about Detroit House. Tell me everything, you know, and then I can like get like the real deal on, you know, on like these interesting subgenres of stuff. So I have those people I can be like, hit me up. I want to know more about this.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
One of the first words I heard to describe this record, I think, was in a press release, and it was urgent. And then I've heard you talk in recent interviews about this sort of beautiful calmness to your life, or sort of sophisticated simplicity, if you will, of, you know, what matters to you now is just making great art and being a great friend or a great person to the people that you love. And I thought the juxtaposition, not to you know, make one that doesn't exist, but mm-hmm. of urgency, well, with the sort of the patience of the calmness that you're exuding now was fascinating to me. Is there anything to that?
Well, the calmness that you're feeling and seeing right now is a level of brain meltedness from 2 weeks straight of rehearsals for putting the show on. And it's full on just like psychedelic decision fatigue. But yeah, I mean, in general, I think... you know, I'm lucky enough to like be seven solo records in, and I got to learn how to be a person while learning how to be a better artist, and because my career was sort of slow and steady, like every single record, some more people were paying attention, and everything more people are paying attention, and so I never had the kind of like crazy young fame or anything that sort of, I think, can sometimes stunt a person's emotional growth, you know? So I'm just kind of like, keep it simple, right? Like, you know, you can't see, but like my precious mom is like in the studio. It's like just my family matters, my love matters, and my work matters, and that's kind of it. It's not as if that's simple, right? I mean, but it's clear.
Yeah. You know, and as you point out, you didn't have that sort of like overnight success, sort of toxic form of fame, but you did have this form of fame, especially as you got on to your run in the late 2010s, of, you know, just widespread critical acclaim, you know, from real music writers and the music community. Was there any downside to that as like a human being? Was there any sort of like, did it create a prison at all at times of you know, because did you ever want to please these people even more and more with the latest release?
Oh, with All Born Screaming, no, I don't give a shit. Can I say shit? No, I can't.
On YouTube, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I stopped care. I don't make music for critics. I make the music, again, like I said, I'm lucky enough to be seven solo records in and you know myself. And I'm just always trying to make music that is exciting to me, that makes me feel something, that matters, that's exactly about what's going on in my life at any given time, and try to take all the chaos of life and put it into some kind of, like, I don't know, order in music, and find out kind of what I think and how I feel. And that's, I do that through music. So I have an outlet for it. But as far as like critical acclaim, no, I mean, it's nice. It's certainly nice to have, you know, be a sort of critical darling at times, but of course that's going to turn, you know, that's the sword of Damocles just like hanging over your head. You know what I mean? They're going to have to, at some point, say you fell from grace, and they're going to have to, again, at some point, say you returned to form and you're back, you know, like, it's like, that has nothing to do with me. That's all about just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Getting clicks or whatever.
That sort of healthy attitude of not giving a shit that you're talking about, it sounds like it echoes some other sentiments I've heard from you recently being less interested at this point in your career and life in persona, and more just about being real and maybe more visceral. Is there anything in your life that happened that sort of informed that shift?
Well, in terms of kind of deconstructing persona, that I don't believe that playing with identity and persona makes something inherently less authentic. The music was always me. But, you know, I'm queer, so I've known that identity and gender and all this stuff was like a performance from a very young age. So it makes sense that I would just explore all of that in my work. It's not less authentic. But I think just life kind of brings you to your knees sometimes. And this record, All Born Screaming, is just not, it's not about a deconstruction of persona. It's not life at an arm's length. It's not ironic. It's not like, I mean, there's certainly some, like, I don't know, kind of wry lyrics or something, but it's not, it's just about like life and death. And we have one life, if that's your, you know, belief system. We've got one of them, and it's really short. And I'm very aware of how short it is. And so let's go. Like, let's go. Let's do this. We don't have time to fuck around.
Do you think that plays into, I don't know how tongue-in-cheek or literal it was, but the term post-plague pop, I love.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is a different world now, right? And it's not, you know, not a worse world, a better world. It's just different. And I think the effects that those couple years had on us, we're still trying to sort of articulate even to ourselves.
Yeah.
But what you're expressing right now is something that I've definitely expressed, and I think even some of my friends have too, of just this awareness of the finite nature of just everyday life. Is, do you think that term post-plague pop, plays into it all of this disposition you have?
I did say post-plague pop, sorry, post-plague pox. I did say that at some point, but I think I kind of regretted it. And I'll tell you why. Like, well, what I didn't regret was the alliteration, because I love alliteration. And a plosive P is a satisfying sound. But what I do regret about it is, like, I don't really want to just, you know, remind people of the pandemic. I mean, because I think we're still so shell-shocked from it. It's like, no, we need to just pretend that life is back to normal on some level just to survive. And the other thing is, I don't really know if this is a pop record. Like, I mean, it's pop in the sense of there are singable melodies, there are hooks, there are counter melodies, there are grooves, sure. But I guess when I think about at least modern pop, I wouldn't really put this record in that category. This is like a little bit heavier than, it's more of, I mean, I don't want to say like this is my rock record or this is anything, but it's a heavier record than, like, you know.
Maybe it's pop in a post-plague world.
Yeah, maybe so. There you go. Right? That's two birds with one stone. There's your alliteration. Right. And
A collaborative of yours that I have to ask about, just with his history with this radio station we're on right now, is Dave Grohl. And is this true that he told you that he learned how to play drums with baseball bats?
Yeah. Is that not like a story that...
That's crazy. I'm not questioning it. I'm just fascinated.
No, he was telling me, because I got asked to help induct Nirvana into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 10 years ago. And that's when I first really got to know Dave. And he was telling me the story of, like, really wanting to be a drummer, but, you know, not having money and being a kid. And so he would practice drumming on his bed with, like, Louisville Sluggers. I mean, I don't want to speak out of school. That's not my... I swear to God, I thought that was just, like, common knowledge, and, like, that's why he hits so hard.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like... did you ever play, like, baseball or softball growing up?
Yeah,
they
did.
Put the donut on the bat, so you'd swing with a heavier bat and you go out there and, like, crush the ball.
Totally.
That's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, it's like weight training or something. Yeah.
There's a 12-year-old drummer in, like, Arkansas right now who's going to watch this interview and just drive their family crazy.
Well, if you're hitting a mattress, I think
you'll be
okay.
Safe.
Yeah.
Don't do the side of the
house.
Don't
hit your
kids.
Sister.
Yeah. Well, very cool. And then I did want to plug this before we let you go here. Tomorrow, this will go up tonight. Tomorrow, you're going to be in Long Beach signing records at... Do you know where? Do we know where?
Fingerprints.
Fingerprints,
mm-hmm.
Which is a fine establishment.
And I'm
that's
excited.
Gonna be going down at 2 p.m.
Great. Yeah, I'll be down in the LBC.
There we go.
Yeah.
Maybe Snoop pulls up.
Maybe he does. Maybe the remaining members of War.
Yes. There you go.
Or Sublime come by.
I like you tying it all the way back to Dazed and Confused.
Absolutely. Yeah.
See that? From 4114 to Dazed and Confused. Thanks so much for stopping by and congratulations on the album.
Thank you so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.